Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins on the top line. Rav Huna Achal, Tlesa Riftei Bnei Tlata Tlata B'Kabel. Rav Huna ate 13 rolls that were made out of 3 kav each. Velo Baruch. And he did not make a bracha achrona of Birkat HaMazon afterwards. Amalei Rav Nachman, Ade Kafno? Are you so hungry? Are you demonstrating some sort of famished behavior over here? Ela Kol She'acharim Kovim Alav Suda Tzarich Levarech. Anything that other people make a suuda on, you must make a bracha on. So Rashi explains in Machloket in the Geonim what the question that was posed by Rav Nachman was. According to Rav Haigon, he says that whatever other people would normally eat in a meal, that is considered to be kviyot suuda. There's an objective standard of what suuda is, and that's not determined by whether you're hungry or not hungry. If you consume the amount that people normally would eat in a suuda, that classifies as being a su'udah for you. On the other hand, he quotes from the Bahag, Rabbi Hudai Gaon, who says that the question of Rav Nachman relates to, are you not satisfied from the Pasuk ve'achalta v'savato v'erachta? And if you don't have Sviyah, then you don't have to make a bracha birkat hamazon. Rashi rejects this interpretation and supports the first interpretation, which is that there is an objective standard for how much one can eat in a meal in order to be chayav in birkat hamazon. Again, over here, when we're talking about these riftei, we're talking about something that is defined as pat haba b'kisnin. The Gemara has used this term a couple of times, pat haba b'kisnin, and each time we've had a different definition of what pat haba b'kisnin is. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there are actually 3 different definitions as to what pat haba b'kisnin is, and we are machmir for all 3 of these types of pat haba b'kisnin. Over here, Rashi says these lachmaniyot are called ublish, belaz, which is some sort of thicker dough. On the other hand, Tosafot says that ublish is full-fledged bread, and the Shulchan Aruch agrees. And he says what we're speaking about here is nilish, which is a thinner cracker-like substance, whether it's a cracker or a pretzel. It's a thinner dough that hardens, and that's what we're speaking about over here, not something that is soft like a regular piece of bread. Now, in this instance of pat haba b'kisnin, the Gemara here lays out a principle, which now will apply to all these things that we find as pat haba b'kisnin, which is that if people would normally eat that volume in a suda to make a meal over it, then the bracha switches from borei minei mizanot to amotzi, and the bracha chrona switches from alamechia to birkat hamazon. Rav Yehuda Abba Asikle the Brei, he was dealing with issues for his son's wedding, breaking a shidduch, bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, the house of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, where obviously the daughter of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva was, and they were trying to make a shidduch. Aitu the kamayu pat haba b'kisnin. They brought out this pat haba b'kisnin. Ki ata, when he came, shaminu the kamavarchi amotzi. He heard them make a bracha of amotzi over this pat haba b'kisnin. Amalu, my tzitze, the kashamana. What's that noise, amotzi, that I'm hearing out there? Dilma amotzi lech ben arts, kamavarchitu. Maybe you make a bracha of amotzi on it? Amalu, yes, that's exactly what we're doing. The Tanya, we have a braita, Rabbi Mona Amar, Mishom Rabbi Yehuda. Pat haba b'kisnin mevarechin alav hamotzi, because we have a mesora that Rabbi Mona says in the Baraita, in the name of Rabbi Huda, that a pat haba b'kisnin, you make hamotzi on it. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel says halacha ki Rabbi Mona. And Shmuel says halacha is Rabbi Mona, then we're going to paskin that way. Samar lehu, ain halacha ki Rabbi Mona itmar. First of all, when Shmuel said it, he said not that halacha is like Rabbi Mona, but not like Rabbi Mona. Amri lei, v'ha mar Huda mar mishmei de Shmuel. Wait a minute, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, and then later on a Talmud of Shmuel, and this statement from Shmuel we heard in your name. So lachmaniot, marvin behen umavachin alayim amotzi, these lachmaniot, which are a pat haba b'kisnin, you can make an eruv with them, because you need shtei su'udot in order to make an eruv, umavachin alayim amotzi, and you make a brach of amotzi on them. He says, Rav Yehuda shani hatam dekava su'udete alayu, that's different over there because they made it into a meal. Like in this case, where we're bringing them out to you just as a dessert, since that's not made into a full-fledged meal, lo, there is no bracha of a motzi, nor is there a bracha of birkat hamazon on this pat haba b'kisnin. Now, the Gemara here ends that sukya pat haba b'kisnin in the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch, as I said before, brings down 3 different types of items that are classified as pat haba b'kisnin. It says, yesh mefarshim, the pat haba b'kisnin is pat hasuik min kisim, it's a pocket, shemamalin otel devash o sukar vegozin o shkedim v'tavlin, that is filled with honey, sugar, nuts, almonds, walnuts, v'hem nikrim rishkulush, or real chashuv. And that was what Rashi and Tosafot mentioned in yesterday. Daf was called bata b'kisnin. Then the other possibility is veishomim she isa sheir b'davashu shemen ochalav u'minei tavlin v'afa. Others say, and Rashi mentioned this as well. He actually mentioned them together, that it's a dough that is flavored. It has some sort of spicing or honey or milk in it. It's not made from just water and flour, but there's other items mixed into the dough that give it flavor. The Rama over here defines, and we say the Paskan Alocha, that's called pat gamur, even if it has spices or other items in it. The only time it's called a pat b'kisnin is where it has so much in the way of spices or honey that you can sense it, and that it's the ikar, becomes the major part of the reason that you're eating it. And what he mentions over here is something in Yonah de Omer, he calls it lekach, lekach, which the minhag amongst many is to have on Rosh Hashanah or before Rosh Hashanah. So he says that community mitag shkoyim lekach, that where the dvash and the tavlin are the ikar, that is called patavah b'kisnin. And then v'yesh mefarim shem, shehu pad ben mituvel ben shu mituvelet, talking about bread here, whether it's spiced or not spiced, make it thick and it's dry. And when you have to eat them, you have to munch on them or crunch on them. Something like a biscuit. And Shulchan Aruch concludes, that the halacha is like all of these opinions, that all of these are called hapataba b'kisnin. So all of these things, they have all the dinim of hapataba b'kisnin, which we said before is hapataba b'kisnin is if you are a koveya suda on it, if you have the amount that is considered to be a suda, then you have to make a birkat hamotzi beforehand and a birkat hamazon afterwards. What is called the suda over here is a machloket. It's a question of whether it has to be the 3 beitzim and the 4 beitzim, which is mentioned here in the Gemara as being the size of a suda, or does it have to be the size of shtei sudot or sudat ha-shabbat that is mentioned in the Gemara. The other thing that is a machloket amongst the poskim is whether when you eat this bread or these patabab kistin along with something else, for instance, you have it with meat or fish, how much of this patabab kistin do you have to have? Do you have to have enough of the patabab kistin by itself that would be classified as a suda? Or is it sufficient that you have the normal amount that is eaten with the basar together? And so the Magen Avraham, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that it's enough. If you have a patabab kistin, then most people would have in a meal that is accompanied by other items. And Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe mentions this almost to an extreme, which is that in America, where people rarely eat bread in the meals and eat very little bread with their meals and have all other options and items in the meal, then the threshold for what would be considered a suda is actually lowered significantly, and therefore one would have to make a motzi on a pat b'kisnin if this is the amount that people normally ate in a meal of bread in that situation. In addition, Rav Moshe mentions that if someone started out thinking that they were going to eat enough of a pata b'kisnin that they made to make a motzi, and they intended to make bench afterward, but they ate less, then the birkat motzi is okay, and the person can say an alamicha afterwards, he does not have to bench, and that is not an issue. The questions come up with things or items such as pizza. That's always the controversy with pata b'kisnin. Over here, first of all, whether it qualifies, it seems from some of the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch that would qualify as a pata b'kisnin. And the question of kavas du tayhu. The other thing that comes up is with mizonot rolls. Now with mizonot rolls, the answer there is much easier because mizonot rolls, first of all, are made in a way that they are coming to replace regular rolls. And if that's the case, most people then are koveya sudato alayhu, and therefore they require birkat hamotzi, even if one is not eating them in that context because that's their intent. The other thing is, the mizonot rolls may not qualify not to be considered lechem and to be considered patava b'kisnin. And that has to do with what we just saw before in the Rama, how much of the other item or flavor do we need in there in order for it not to be considered bread. The mizonot rolls are made with mei peirot together with the flour. Do you have to taste the flavor of the mei peirot in there? And mei peirot by themselves, is that enough to be considered not lechem? Because if you look through the Achronim, many of these issues are in machloket, or left in a machloket. It would seem from the Rov HaDeot that mizonot rolls require one to make hamotzi on them, whether they are eating them in the middle of Suda, if they're just eating them plain. As far as pizza is concerned, there are different drachim to take over here. What was, and what people like to quote as the prevalent derech, is that one has to eat enough that is classified as a Suda over pizza, because it is a pata b'kisnin, and therefore one would have to consume enough that people would eat a normal meal. But if people are simply eating it as a snack, then it would be classified as burei mine binzonot. There are many poskim that believe that with regards to pizza, that the pizza itself is a davar shekovin alav se'uda. It has a shame as an item that people normally eat in a meal. And if that's the case, no matter when you consume it or how you consume it, its bracha will be hamotzi, because it's no longer really classified as a pata babikisnim, but rather as lechem gamur, because this is something that people normally eat in meals, and the quantity is not so large that they have to eat them. They would eat one slice, and that would be a meal. They would eat even small amounts of the pizza, and it would be classified as a meal. Therefore, according to these poskim, the one would make hamotzi on no matter how much pizza they ate. Maybe for the bracha achrona, you'd have to have a kizayi de'achilat pras, or enough to be considered a kivat suda atayu alayu. But they believe that pizza in of itself is either not pata babikisnin, because the dough is solid, it's not a filled dough. And on top of that, they believe that it's always, people are always kovesu datayu alayu. Therefore, that's where the questions regarding pizza come up, and they machloket in the poskim, and one should ask their local rav what the halacha is, although it seems from the askamat of most of the achronim today that the bracha on pizza probably should be hamotzi in most instances. Now the Gemara continues about a different issue, is when does the su'udah end? When does one's meal stop? How do you know that you've come to the end of the meal? And therefore, since you're at the end of the meal, if you wanted to eat something more now, you would have to make a new bracha rishona in order to eat it. The Gemara brings a case. Papa ikla lebe Rav Huna, brei de Rav Natan. Papa went to the house of Rav Huna, brei de Rav Natan, butter the gamar su'udah tayu, they finished their meal. They brought in front of them more things to eat. Shachar Papa v'kachil. Papa took it, ate it, and didn't make a bracha. That once you finished your meal, you can't eat anything more. The way I learned it is that you have to once the table is removed. When the table is removed, that's considered to be the end of the meal. Just because we reached the point of the end of the meal, that's not the end of the meal. One has to have the tables removed. Tosafot asks on our minhag. Our minhag is to keep the table in front of us, plus to leave the lechem, the bread, on the table in front of us as a part of the meal in order to bench while the lechem is still there. How come over in their time they were removing the table? Tosafot differentiates between the orchim, the guests, and the balabait. He suggests over here that the tables were removed from in front of the guests, but the table was left in front of the balabait, the one who was going to be mevarech, and the lechem was left there. And our tables today, since we all eat around a single table, are the equivalent of the balabait's table, and that's why we leave the bread on the table after the meal in order to bench with that bread on the table. Rava v'Rabbi Zeira iklu the beirish galuta. They went to the house of the exilarch. Bato saliku taka kamayu. After they removed the tables from in front of them, shadru lehu ristana beirish galuta. They got from the reish galuta ristana, which is some dessert, which Rashi calls a mistrosinion, for some sort of fruit dish. Rava achil, Rava ate it without making a bracha. Rabbi Zeira lo achil, and Rabbi Zeira did not eat it. Amalei lo sever lo amar saleik asur melechol. Don't you hold of the principle that we just saw from Rav Papa, which is that once the table is removed, one may not eat without a bracha? Amalei anan ataka deresh galuta samchinan. We rely on the table of the exilarch. He says that I don't know when the meal is going to end. I don't know what they're going to send. In my mind, I only consider the end of the meal when the exilarch says it's the end of the meal. I'm not in charge here. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, so I assume the meal's going to continue until we hear otherwise. Therefore, since I'm relying on the exilarch, I consider myself to be still within the meal, even after they took away the table from in front of us. Tosafot points out, with regards to Pesach night, Mishu shachach dechol afikomen. Someone who forgot to eat the afikomen, v'amar havlan v'nivrech, he says, let us bench. Eino hesech adat. He does not have to worry about the fact that he already said, let us go bench. They cannot consume the afikomen then. Tana nataka derachmanas amchinan. Because we rely on the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the table of the halacha. And therefore, since he did not eat the afikomen is part of the meal, part of the Seder night, and his betela dato, he is subverted to that need to eat the afikomen, and therefore he can eat the afikomen, even though he has said that he wanted to start benching. On the other hand, if one is already benched, then a person does not have to go back and eat the afikomen, he says, because that all the matzot that we make are done the same mitzvah, and therefore all the matzah that he ate or during the meal qualify also towards the afikomen. And in addition to that, he qualifies here in its important statement, that when we say let's bench, that does not end the meal for anyone unless it's the balabai. The one who's in charge of the meal is the one who says, let's bench. That is the termination of the meal. So if a child at a meal says to their parents, let's bench, I want to bench, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end of the meal. And the same with a guest who says the same thing. because the Baal HaBayit is in charge, and he will determine when the desserts are brought out, when the meal is ended. And then only then, if the Baal HaBayit, or really the wife of the household, says that the meal is over, will that be considered to be the end of the meal. And so anybody who is ancillary or not the ultimate decider in these matters, even if they say we want to finish the meal or we want to bench, it's not the end of the meal until the person who is in charge does say that it's the end of the meal. In addition, Tosafot says, I don't understand why Rabbi Zeir over here just didn't make a bracha rishona and eat. And we said, even if you've ended the meal, or one has said, let's bench, all you have to do is make another bracha rishona, and then you can continue eating, and then make one birkat hamazon over both of them. Tosafot says that maybe over here what they brought them required a bracha of a motzi, and it was too much tircha to get up and to wash his yadayim again, and to say hamotzi, and therefore he opted not to eat. But in cases where one has finished the meal, supposedly has said, let's bench, and then they make a different decision afterwards, and that is to instance, all you have to do is make a bracha rishon on whatever's brought out, and then a birkat hamazon will include both of the items that were eaten before, as well as the item that was eaten afterwards. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ragil b'shemen, person who normally puts oil on his hands and after the meal, shemen makvo, then the meal's not over until they bring out the oil and he puts it on his hands. Amar Rav Ashi ki avina be Rav Kahana, when we were at the house of Rav Kahana, malan kagon ano de regilin mishka, like us, who normally put on oil on our hands, then mishka makvalan, the meal's not over until we put the oil on. The halacha is not like any of these memrod until now, about the end of the meal. Rather like this statement of Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, Shlosh Tkifotein, there are three things that must be immediately juxtaposed. Tekef the smicha shchita, after a person does smicha on the animal that they are bringing as a korban, right away one must do shchita afterwards. Tekef the geula tfila, one must immediately after saying the bracha of Gal Yisrael begin the Shmoneh Esrei, that's smicha geula the tfila. And tekef the ntilat yadayim bracha, after one washes their hands, they must immediately make the bracha. There are some who claim, and it seems so from the Midrash Halakha, that the Netilat Yadayim we're speaking over here is Netilat Yadayim Rishona, before the meal. On the other hand, obviously in the context of our Gemara, and the Rishonim over here that explain it this way, like Rashi, that says that we're speaking about Mayim Achronim, and we're talking about the Mayim at the end of the meal, and that Mayim at the end of the meal must be juxtaposed or close to the bracha of Birkat HaMazon. And that is the proof here, that once one has washed Mayim Achronim, the meal has terminated. And that is the decisive point at which the meal ends, once one has washed Netilat Yadayim, or Mayim Achronim. Now, just to understand in this context, the way the Gemara explains it is, if you wash that Mayim Achronim, all it does is it severs your connection to the Bracha Rishon on the meal, and then one should bench immediately after. If one then makes a decision to change their mind and eat something else, they would have to make a Bracha Rishon on that item and then bench afterwards. Whereas what's brought down the halacha by many of the achronim is that once one has watched an mayim achronim, that a person should immediately try to bench, not speak, and should go directly into benching. That is not so clear here from the Gemara that is the case, as well as from many of the rishonim. Over here, it's just an indication of the termination of the meal, but it's not a demand that once one washes, they must bench right away. It's a good idea to bench right away because there's nothing else you should do at that point in time. The Netilat Yadayim serves as a precursor to the benching, but not that it means that you may not talk or do anything else afterwards. Tosafot points out that if one says, Havlan v'nivarech, one says, let us go and bench, that has the same status as washing Yadayim for Mayim Achronim, based on our Gemara over here. Even though the Gemara says that the halacha is not like anything we said before, he equates the washing of Mayim Achronim to the statement of Havlan v'nivarech. Amar Abai Af Anan Nermar, we have another tekef, we have a third thing that has to be immediately juxtaposed, is tekef like Talmid Chachem Bracha. That in the midst or the presence of Talmid Chachem, the people who take care of them or host them will get a bracha. Shnemar, Vayivracheni Hashem Bigla Lecha. That is by Yaakov, when he is by Lavan, it says that Lavan realizes that he is blessed because Yaakov is present. Yibaitemar from Yosef, Atzadik Mehacha. Shnemar, Vayivarech Hashem et Beit HaMitzri Bilal Yosef. That the house of the Mitzri was blessed because of the presence of Yosef in that instance. Okay, next Mishnah is, Barech ala yayin shlifnei amazon. This one makes a bracha on the wine that is before the meal. Batar ta yayin shlachar amazon, that takes care of the wine that is after the meal. Now Rashi lays out for us the way their meals look, was that they used to sit down and they used to drink a cup of wine before they began the meal. And then after that they used to bring them parparot, which are appetizers. Rashi calls them ordvards, which are the achilat pargiot vidagim, eating of small poultry, soft poultry, or the game fish, and then only then do they bring out the meal, and then after they finish the meal, the same thing happens at the end. They have parperot, which are some sorts of desserts. Rashi calls them kisnei and lachmaniyot, which are these patabab kisnin that we saw earlier in the Gemara. That's what is being described here in the Mishnah. So a person who makes a bracha on the wine that's before the mazon also covers the wine that is after the mazon, and that is after they finished the meal, they also drank another cup of wine, according to Rashi, prior to Birkat HaMazon. Bereich ala perperet shlifnei HaMazon. If someone makes a bracha on the appetizers before the meal, patarat perperet shlachar HaMazon. That takes care of the dainties or the desserts that are sweets that are going to come at the end of the meal. Bereich ala pat, patarat perperet. On the other hand, if one makes a bracha on the pat, on the bread itself, then he takes care of the appetizers that are brought in the meal. Ala perperet, if he makes a bracha on those appetizers, lo patarat pat, does not take care of the bread in the meal. Now Rashi explained that the prepared or appetizers that we're speaking here are pargiot and dagim, which are bracha of shehakol. And therefore Tosfot says he doesn't understand how Rashi could explain the parperot that way, because what havamina would there be that making a bracha on the parperot would actually be motzi or take care of the bracha on the bread? And therefore Tosfot likes better the explanation of the rach. Parperot is over here pat snuma bikara, that we saw earlier in the Gemara. It's like a dried out bread that is brought inside of a liquid. The leba tarita de hema, that doesn't have the appearance of bread. So it once was bread, but it hardened and now has been soaked in a liquid, so it no longer looks or has a semblance of bread. Now that you make a borei minei mizonot. And that's why the Gemara has a havamina here that maybe the parperet should help with regards to the pot, as opposed to what Rashi is calling shahakol, where it's not so understandable how that would be motzi the pot. Af lo masei kedera. Now, it's not clear what Beit Shammai is referencing in here, where he says that cooked dishes, Rashi claims that this is from what we saw earlier back on Lamed Zayim, these are filka, tragis, tisne, these wheat dishes that require bori minei mizonot. Beit Shammai says that the bracha does not count for them. It's not clear whether Beit Shammai is referencing the first statement in the Mishnah or the second statement of the Mishnah, and that the Gemara will discuss. Hayushvim kol echad mevarech le'atzmo. If they're simply sitting together, then everyone has to make their own bracha. That is, even if they are eating from the same bread. A sibu, if they are laying down on their sides and eating together, because that's considered to be a kviyut suda. That means that they are together, and once they're together in a suda, one can make a bracha for the others. And this is talking about both bracha rishona as well as bracha achrona. Now, with regards to this, heseba, Tosafot makes a statement over here, which we'll clarify on tomorrow's daf, and has important implications to halacha. He says that we no longer have a seba, we only have a seba for bread. And even with bread, our haseba doesn't count so much, and that sha'anu achlim yachad, hainu kviyatenu. When we eat together sitting down, that is the equivalent of haseba. And so Tosfot translates the haseba of the Gemara into yeshiva of their day. And therefore, what the Mishnah says, yeshiva does not count to bring people together, that would no longer be true, and that yeshiva today will be served as the kviyut for bringing together people together to eat together around a table. And therefore, if one person makes a bracha, the others can be yotze with that. Now that has important implications, and we'll see later on for things like Kiddush and Havdalah, which Tosfot will mention on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. If they get wine in the middle of the meal, then every person has to make his own bracha. If it's brought after the meal, then one person makes a bracha for everyone. And then, after benching, they also used to bring these spices or incense, perfumes that they put on the coals to make a nice smell after the meal was done, even though that's after benching. It's after the meal is completely done. Nevertheless, the person who got the privilege of making the bracha on the yayin at the end of the meal also gets the privilege of making the bracha on the mugmar. Despite the fact that it's after the meal, still the one who made that last bracha on the yayin gets the privilege of making the bracha on the mugmar. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabba Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu ela b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim. This is true that when one makes a bracha of the wine at the beginning of the meal, then that wine covers the wine that is brought during the meal. That's only true on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Because in those instances, a person expects to drink wine during the meal. Because it's Shabbat and Yom Tov, and they drink wine not only before the meal, but during the meal. But on a regular day, of during a regular weekday where people are not usually drinking so much wine, and they do not have wine during the meal, it's considered to be like nimlach. That even when you had wine beforehand, they didn't have in mind that there would be wine during the meal, and therefore each time the bottle of wine or something is brought out, they would have to make a separate bracha, because that was not contemplated in the first bracha that was made before the meal. Itmar Nami, we have another statement that supports this. Amar Rabba Barmani, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Loshanu el b'shavatad v'yamim tovim. U'b'shah shadam yotzei mi'beit ha'merchatz, u'b'shah hakazat adam. He adds in two other instances, when a person leaves the bathhouse, or a time after a person has had his blood let. In those two instances, the Gemara discusses that it's efficacious to drink wine, and therefore, hov adam koveh sutatol yayin, since people would expect to have wine in such a meal, therefore the wine that is before the meal that you make a bracha on will take care of the wine during the meal, because you would have had in mind that there would be wine during the meal. Aval b'shar yimot ha'shana, the remainder of the year, mevrecha l'kol kos v'kos, you have to make a separate bracha on each cup of wine. Rabba bar mari iklu debei rova b'chol. He went over to the house of Rabba during the week. Chazi de baruch lifnei amazon, v'hoda baruch l'achar amazon. Some make a bracha on the yayin before the meal, and then he made another bracha during the meal. Amalei yiyasher, that what you're doing is correct. You are subscribing to the proper halacha and making a separate brachot, because no one has in mind to have wine during the meal on a weekday. So therefore, you made a bracha beforehand, and when we brought out wine later on, you should make a separate bracha. Chein amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had said before. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef yikla lebe abaye b'yom tov. Now this is on Yom Tov. Chazi de barich hakol kasa v'kasa. So the Abaye was making a separate bracha on every kos of yayin. Amalei lo sav amar lahad Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Says, don't you hold of this position, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that Yom Tov, when you make a bracha on the wine beforehand, includes everything in the meal? Amalei nimlach ano. I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't think that we're going to have wine during the meal, and therefore I have to make a separate bracha on each of them. Now this is important in the halacha. Tosfos points out that when one makes a bracha on the wine for Kiddush, or on the wine for Abdallah, then it would include the wine that is during the meal, because this is the equivalent of lifnei amazon, and then it would include the wine during the meal. We'll discuss that a little more in depth in a minute about wine in the meal, but that would only be true if a person knows that they would normally bring out wine. Today, in many meals, in many households, they do not drink wine during the Shabbat meal or the Yom Tov meal. That means if they made a bracha on the Kiddush wine, they would have to make a separate bracha on wine that is brought out during the meal. Unless you're eating in a location or a place where they normally serve wine during the meal, and therefore you would know that, have in mind, or stam, you have in mind, that the yayin that you make a bracha on before the meal includes that which is brought during the meal. In addition, of course, if the wine is found on the table at the time that they're making Kiddush, then certainly the bracha on the wine for Kiddush takes care of that wine that is found on the table that will be drunk during the meal. So now, ibailuhu, balhem yayin betocha mazon, someone gets wine during the meal. Ma'u shiftor et hayayin shel achar mazon, can it take care of the wine that's after the meal? What's the safek here? Intim salomar berech al yayin, you want to bring a proof from our Mishnah that a person made a bracha on the yayin shel lifnei mazon, the appetizer wine, poter et hayayin shel achar mazon, takes care of the dessert wine. Shum zelishtot v'zelishtot. The reason you drink wine before the meal is to whet the appetite, and afterwards is to satisfy, to finish off the meal. Those are both being drunk for the sake of their drinking satisfaction. V'hacha, zelishtot, the drink after the meal is to drink, v'zelishrot. When you drink during the meal, as Rashi points out, it's not normal to drink during a meal. They only drink a small amount during the meal in order to help with the digestion of the food, but all drinking was saved till after the meal. So therefore, the drinking during the meal is lishrot. It's just to soak the food, not for a drinking sense. Lo, maybe it won't be included. Odilma lo shna, maybe it makes no difference. So now we have a machloket amoraim with regards to this. Rav amar patur, poter. Rav says it works. If you make a bracha on the wine during the meal, it takes care of the dessert wine. Rav kan amar eno poter. Rav kan disagrees and says it doesn't work. Rav Nachman amar poter. Rav Nachman agrees with Rav. Rav Sheshet amar eno poter. Rav Sheshet says like Rav Kahana. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda v'chol tamidei de Rav. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda and all the Talmidim of Rav are made Enu Poter. They agree with the position of Rav Kahana and Rav Sheshet against their Rebbe Rav. And for that reason, Tosfot says here, even though normally when we have Rav in Halacha, be Isure, the Halacha is like Rav, nevertheless over here, the Halacha is Ketalmidei de Rav de Rav Sheshet, Kavayik Vadeu. And when it comes to Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, Rav Nachman Halacha is like him be Dinim, and like Rav Sheshet be Isure. And even though Rav is against them over here, nevertheless, since all the Talmidim of Rav agree to that position of Rav Sheshet and Rav Kahana, it seems pretty clear that they had a Mesorah from Rav that the proper, what Rav really said was, Eino Poter, and therefore we pass on the Halacha that way. So Eidvei Rav the Rav Nachman, so Rav challenged Rav Nachman's position from our Mishnah. If they bring wine in the middle of the meal, everybody makes their own bracha. After the meal, then one person can make a bracha for all of them, which we'll explain in a Gemara why that is. So the thinking and the questioning by Rava is that these are a single case. There's one case. They brought him wine during the meal. Each one makes their own bracha. They brought them wine for dessert. Then they eat, make one bracha for all of them. But they had wine during the middle of the meal. So you see from here that it's not puter. So I'm like, hey, hachi kamar. These are two separate distinct cases. The Mishnah is just listing out cases. It's not that these are sequential events. Lo balahem yayin betocha mazon. It's, first of all, if they got wine during the meal, then each one makes their own bracha. Now, if they didn't get wine during the meal, then, achar mazon, echad mevarech lukulan. Then, someone at the end of the meal will make one bracha for all of them. Not to say that because they got wine during the meal, they still have to make a bracha at the end of the meal. These are two independent cases. Tosafot points out over here that if you make a bracha on the yayin before the meal, it certainly covers the wine during the meal. And that's what we just discussed before. That even though the Gemara has a safek here, whether wine during the meal takes care of the wine after the meal, meaning the wine during the meal doesn't take care of the dessert wine, nevertheless, the opposite is not true. Because there, the wine during the meal is not like regular drinking. But on the other hand, if you have wine before the meal and the appetizer wine, then that certainly will cover the wine during the meal, because if it's lishtot, it's a full-fledged drinking of wine, that certainly will cover lishrot. In case you're not drinking it for its drinking pleasure, but rather for the soaking of the food, certainly that will be covered by the bracha beforehand. And therefore, Tosfot says that it's not a question that the bracha of yayin beforehand will take care of it, and therefore by Kiddush and Havdalah, that wine or that bracha that you make beforehand will cover that which is in the meal. Now, Tosfot discusses the minhag that's brought down by the Ramah that the Yekis have to wash your yayin beforehand and then to make the bracha al yayin. He says certainly there it's part of the meal, and he discusses the difference between maybe Kiddush and Havdalah. But he wants to suggest that it works by both of them, but since there's a safek according to some whether you can really wash and then make Havdalah al-Yayin and then continue into a meal, because Havdalah does not require Su'udah, therefore he says better not to do it, wash before you're making Havdalah. But nevertheless, he still maintains that if one makes a bracha on appetizer wine, it will cover the wine during the meal, as long as one had in mind for that. Yibailuhu, and this is what we mentioned before, with regards to the position of Beit Shammai, which is that af lo maseh gedira. Beit Shammai reisha pligi, odil masefi pligi. Statement of Beit Shammai is going on first statement or the second statement of the Mishnah. The Kamar Tanakama Barech Alapat Patera to prepare it. Tanakama says if you make a bracha on the bread, it takes care of the appetizers. B'choshek Maaseh Gedira, certainly it'll take care of these dishes that are mizonot. Vati Beit Shammai the Meimar. Beit Shammai comes along and says lo mibayi prepare it to lo pacha. Forget it. Doesn't cover the appetizers. Not only does it not cover the appetizers, it doesn't even cover things that you make a mizonot on. That's one possibility. Dilma, it's a safe oblique. It's on the second statement of the Mishnah. Diktani, barecha lo paperet lo patarita pat. If he makes a bracha on the appetizer, it does not take care of the pat, the bread. Patu de lo patar. Doesn't take care of pat, but masa kedera patar. The appetizers definitely take care of the masa kedera. And this is one of the proofs that Tosafot has earlier, that he doesn't think Rashi's definition of the appetizers is correct, because over here you see that the Gemara is saying that it takes care of masa kedera, which is clear, mizonot. That even when you make a bracha on the appetizers, not only does it not take care of the pot, the bread, it does not take care of the maseh gedera as well. The Gemara leaves as a teku. We're not sure what Beit Shammai argues. They're all sitting around. Hesebuin, lo hesebulo. From our mission, it's pretty clear that only if you have hesebu are they considered to be one entity. They do not lay down together on the beds or the couches to eat. That's not considered to be a meal together. V'rminu, is that really true? Asarash yoyolchim baderech. Even though they're all sharing in a single loaf of bread, you have to make a separate bracha. If they sit down to eat together, even when each one has their own role in eating their own bread, one can make a bracha for all of them. Tani, this braita is talking about the Tosefta, is talking about a case where they sat down, not a case of Heseba. Now the bright is a different case, is where they specifically articulate that they want to eat together. So Heseba automatically makes you into a joint meal, while sitting down is not joint unless you specifically state, let us go and sit together in a specific location. After Rav had passed away, Azlu Tamidav Bachrei, they went to accompany him to his burial, and on the way back, on the way back they said, let's sit down and have a meal on the banks of the river of Dank. But the krache, after they sat down and broke bread, yatve become mibailu hasebo daf kotanat. In our Mishnah, when it says hasebo, it means literally have to be in mesiv in order to be joined together. But if you sat down together, it would not work. Oduma came down in a zilvenechol rifta beduchta planita. Since we said let us all go eat together, that was sufficient. Kesebo dami, it's equivalent of having hasebo. Lo have biyadayu. They didn't know the halacha. They didn't know what the halacha should be in this case. It's interesting, as Tosafot points out here, how did they make the bracha rishona? Because in our Mishnah, it's both for bracha rishona and achrona. So over here, it sounds like they made independently Birkat HaMotzi. So Tosavot says maybe that's because they came at different times and they started to eat at different times, but now they want to join together afterwards. Umar says, Kam Rav Adar Ba'ava, one of the Talmidim of Rav, Hader Karei L'Achorei, he took the rip in his beged that he had ripped over the death, over the loss of Rav. He turns it to his back, Akar Kriya Achrina, and he pours a second Kriya on his beged, Mar Nachnam Sheid Rav, Birkat Mazono L'Gamrinan. Rav has passed away, not only have we lost Rav, now we don't even know the halacha of Birkat HaMazon. We have to tear Kriya separately on the Torah that we don't know because we don't have Rav to ask anymore. Adato hu sabo, Endulli Jogman came along. Ramalu Matnita and Abraita, he questioned. He brought a steer between our Mishnah and the Braita that we saw before. Rishani Luhu, and he gave him the answer that we had seen in our Gemara before. Gave him Darmi Nezam and Echol Lachman, Meduch Plan, Kesei Budamu. In order to reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah, we have to say that saying to someone that, let us go eat together, is sufficient to create the equivalent of a unity in the meal, like a seba. And that is the halacha that we have, that if people sit down together, or say that we're going to sit down together, that is qualifies to make them into a single unit in terms of achila. We'll get into more discussions in the seventh parak with regards to Birkat HaMazon and Zimun, as to what is considered to be koveya sudato together. Here you already see the beginnings of building up what it means to eat together in order to qualify to be or classified as a zimun. Okay, we'll stop over here.